Welcome to the Deep Dive, the place where we turn complex research into indispensable knowledge. Today, we're diving into something completely invisible, but absolutely vital. The precise timing that runs our modern world. Specifically, how we keep the lights on, keep the power grid stable when the primary source of that time GPS can be, well, easily knocked out.
Yeah, it sounds abstract, doesn't it? But time really is the invisible backbone holding the grid together. Our deep dive today is focused on achieving what we're calling GPS independence for critical infrastructure. You see, the modern power grid, it's all digitalized now, and it relies heavily on synchronization for, well, everything from protection relays to fault recording.
And the key technology here, I understand, is the phasor measurement unit, or PMU.
Exactly, PMUs. They measure voltage and current across the network in real time. They're basically the grid's eyes and ears.
Okay.
And they need a common timestamp, synchronized within just a few microseconds, that's millions of a second, to give operators an accurate, unified picture across, vast distances.
Right, microseconds. So if the timestamps are off even slightly?
Well, if they're off by even a fraction, the data becomes useless. Or worse, actively misleading. Think of it like an orchestra, where maybe the violins are 13 milliseconds ahead of the brass section, and the conductor's trying to make sense of it all. It just stops being music. It's noise. Chaos.
That's a great analogy. And that's what happens to the grid's data if the timing's off.
Precisely. So the research we looked at is all about this core problem. We are currently dependent almost entirely on GPS for that critical synchronization.
So let's unpack this. If time synchronization is the cornerstone, what happens when that cornerstone, crumbles?
Well, the risk is really fundamental. It comes down to physics. GPS signals, they travel billions of miles to reach us. By the time they arrive here on Earth, they are extremely weak.
How weak are we talking?
We're talking about signal strength comparable to maybe a 1,000-watt light bulb shining from 12,000 miles away. Very, very faint.
Wow. So they're easily overpowered then?
Exactly. Easily. Interference can be unintentional. Things like massive solar flares, or even just electronic noise from nearby machinery.
Okay, unintentional interference. But the real worry, the immediate problem we need to solve, is intentional malice, right? Jamming or spoofing.
Precisely. Jamming is, well, it's pretty straightforward. You just transmit a powerful noise signal on the same frequency. It overpowers the weak GPS signal, essentially deafens the receiver.
Blinds it.
Right. But spoofing is far more insidious. It involves generating false but coordinated signals to trick the receiver, make it think it's getting authentic GPS signals, but reporting the wrong time or maybe the wrong location.
And what we learned from the sources is that this doesn't require, like, a huge government budget or anything.
Not at all. That's the scary part. The technology to mimic GPS signals has become so accessible. Cheap equipment, sometimes small enough to fit in a backpack, can effectively spoof or jam critical receivers. Trick them into adopting an incorrect time.
And we've already seen this cause problems, haven't we?
Yeah.
There was that incident.
Yes. The 2016 GPS error, a documented case where a tiny 13 microsecond time offset was enough to destabilize systems that needed that high precision.
13 microseconds. It sounds tiny, but the consequences.
They can be severe. Without accurate time input, the data synchronization between those PMUs just breaks down. Instantly. Now, the sources we read assure us the grid won't necessarily collapse outright. Protection systems might kick in, but it effectively becomes impossible to control with any precision. That loss of observability, that's a critical national security vulnerability right there.
And then there's the geopolitical side of things, too. GPS is controlled by the U.S. military.
Right.
So basing critical national infrastructure timing entirely on a system controlled by essentially a foreign government that carries inherent strategic risk, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And it's also important to realize this isn't solved just by switching to another global navigation satellite system, a GNSS.
Okay. So using Europe's Galileo or Russia's GLONASS or China's Beidou doesn't fix the root problem.
Not entirely. I mean, they provide valuable redundancy alternative signals, but they all rely on the same fundamental principle. Weak space-based radio signals operating in similar frequency bands. They share the exact same vulnerability to local jamming and spoofing attacks right near the receiver.
So, okay, we need a defense strategy, and it sounds like it needs to be multi-layered, starting with maybe the quick wins.
Yeah.
Things we can do relatively fast.
Exactly. Start with things that build resilience quickly, even if it's just for damage control initially. The first short-term fix is simply multi-GNSS redundancy. It sounds obvious, but if you're currently only using GPS, upgrade your receivers. Make sure they can accept signals from all the available satellite constellations.
So GPS, Galileo, GLONASS, Beidou, use them all. That increases reliability if one system has an issue, like a technical error or a regional outage.
It definitely does. And the European solution here is interesting. The Galileo Public Regulated Service, or PRS, this is a specially designed encrypted service for government and critical infrastructure uses. It offers better resistance to simple spoofing attempts compared to the open public signals.
So a bit more robust. What's the cost and time frame on that?
The robustness gain is, I'd say, moderate. It helps against single system failure, but the cost is relatively low, mostly just upgrading receiver hardware and software, and it's fast to implement.
Okay, but again, like you said, this doesn't solve the core weakness, the dependence on a weak signal from space.
Correct. Which brings us to the second quick fix, sort of a local safety net, holdover clocks.
Holdover clocks, what are those?
These are high-quality local oscillators, usually rubidium atomic clocks installed right there at key infrastructure, points control centers, critical PMU locations, that sort of thing. Normally, when GPS is available, these clocks are constantly synchronized and corrected by it. Disciplined by GPS is the term.
Okay, so they follow GPS when it's there. But what happens if GPS suddenly disappears, jammed or spoofed or just goes offline?
Right. If the GPS signal vanishes, the local clock can hold over the precise time. These clocks have enough built-in stability to maintain microsecond accuracy for a significant period. Could be anywhere from minutes to several hours, really depends on the quality of the clock.
Ah, I see. So the rubidium clock acts like a sort of high-end UPS, an uninterruptible power supply, but for time.
That's a perfect analogy, actually.
Yes, it gives operators a critical window, maybe to switch to another system or manage the grid manually for a bit.
Exactly. It's a temporary buffer. It's not a long-term standalone solution, but it's relatively easy to integrate and offers immediate resilience. The sources suggest this is a very fast option, you know, realistically achievable in less than a year for the most important locations.
Okay, so multi-GNSS and holdover clocks buy us some time, some breathing room. But if the holdover clock just buys us time, where do we go for structural immunity? Let's move on to the solutions that provide true permanent independence from those vulnerable airwaves. This is where it gets really interesting, I think, because we're talking about building new kinds of infrastructure. Let's start with fiber optic timing.
Right. This strategy essentially takes the timing signal off the air entirely and puts it underground, or at least into cables. You leverage existing fiber networks, which, you know, utilities often already have in place for things like SCADA communications, and you use them to distribute time from a central, highly accurate source.
And the mechanism for that is the Precision Time Protocol, or PTP, i.e. Right. 1588. How does that work, basically?
Yeah, PTP. So it involves a highly stable central master clock. Often it's actually an ensemble of atomic clocks for redundancy. This master clock sends time signals out over the fiber network. Then, specialized network switches along the path read the timestamp, and they calculate precisely how long it took the signal to travel across each fiber segment, compensating for that transmission delay. This allows the remote receivers, like the PMUs, to maintain extremely precise synchronization with the central source, microsecond or even better.
Okay, so the robustness here must be...
Well,
phenomenal, right? Yeah. Because you're completely eliminating that fundamental radio frequency vulnerability of GPS.
Exactly. That's the huge advantage. Because the time signals are contained within the cables, you completely remove all those RF threats. No GPS jamming, no spoofing. It just doesn't apply. The only threats remaining are, you know, physical ones, like someone cutting the fiber line or cyber attacks targeting the network equipment itself.
And presumably you tackle those remaining threats through redundancy and smart network design.
Absolutely. Things like building ring connections in the fiber network, so if there's a cut one way, the signal can go the other way. And continuous cross-validation checks, making sure the PTP signal hasn't been tampered with or corrupted. The U.S. COST initiative, the Center for Alternate Synchronization and Timing, they've demonstrated a lot of these best practices.
So, sounds highly effective. What about cost and practicality?
Well, there's a moderate initial cost buying those high-quality PTP master clocks, maybe upgrading some network switches to be PTP aware. But, and this is key, since you leverage the massive investment that's already been made in fiber infrastructure, it becomes pretty cost-effective for the level of precision and security you get. This is more of a gradual rollout, though. A realistic time frame is probably 3 to 8 years for broad deployment across a large utility network.
Oh, okay. Fiber makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now for the other heavy hitter, the independent system that, as you put it, really laughs in the face of jamming.
Mm-hmm.
Enhanced LoRaN or LRAN. This is an old technology making a comeback, right?
It really is, yeah. A blast from the past, modernized. LoRaN was a massive ground-based radio navigation system, used powerful low-frequency transmitters. It got phased out in many Western countries when GPS became dominant, but now it's making a resurgence specifically as a timing backup because it's so fundamentally different from GPS.
Why is it so inherently robust against jamming compared to GPS? What's the physics there?
It really comes down to two things, power and frequency. First, LRAN operates in the low frequency range around 100 kilohertz. These long radio waves follow the Earth's curvature of the ground wave, and they penetrate buildings, terrain, even tunnels far better than high frequency satellite signals. Second, and crucially, the transmitters are extremely powerful. We're talking hundreds of kilowatts, sometimes megawatts.
Okay.
So to jam an LRAN signal effectively over a large area, you don't just need a little backpack device. You need highly specialized, massive transmission equipment and a tremendous amount of power yourself. It's physically very, very difficult, almost prohibitive, to disrupt it widely.
Right. So technically very robust. But the practicality seems like the big hurdle here. Unlike fiber, which uses infrastructure we mostly already have, LRAN requires building something completely new from the ground up.
That's the challenge, absolutely. It requires establishing entirely new national or regional transmission towers and all the supporting infrastructure. This is a huge capital expenditure. Previous U.S. estimates for building a full national system landed somewhere between, I think, $100 million and $400 million USD just for the initial setup. So it requires significant political will, government funding, and often international cooperation because these low-frequency signals travel very far and cross borders easily.
Wow. That time frame and price tag are significant. We're talking maybe 5 to 10 years and potentially $500 million. Given that huge barrier, why are countries like, say, China and South Korea actually prioritizing building these ground-based systems? Wouldn't fiber be faster and maybe cheaper overall?
It's a great question. I think it's because they recognize the need for truly independent, fundamentally different layers of protection. Fiber is amazing for accuracy and security against RF threats, but as we said, it can be physically cut or cyber attacked. Ground radio, like LRN, is immune to satellite jamming, and it's immune to cyber attacks on fiber networks. Plus, it's virtually unjammable by conventional means. It offers this irreplaceable layer of physical security and signal diversity that neither fiber nor satellite alone can provide. It's seen as an investment in permanent, fail-safe infrastructure, even with the high upfront cost.
Okay, that makes sense. A belt, suspenders, and maybe something else approach. Let's use China, then, as the ultimate case study here. You mentioned they fully committed to GPS independence, not with just one solution, but by implementing what the sources call the PNT triad. What are the components of that hardened system?
Right, the PNT triad, that's their model for securing positioning, navigation, and timing across all critical infrastructure. They built three completely independent layers.
Okay, layer one, satellites.
Satellites, yes. But crucially, their own global satellite coverage via the Beidou GNSS. So they control the source, the signals, the encryption keys, complete sovereignty there.
Makes sense. Layer two, the ground defense you were just talking about.
Exactly. A fully operational nationwide LRN network. They've invested heavily in building these powerful long-wave transmitters across the country, and they've achieved impressive precision, too. Some sources report getting down to 20 nanosecond timing precision right at the transmitter level, which is, frankly, exceptional and exceeds most standard grid requirements.
20 nanoseconds, okay. And the third layer of the triad that ties it all together.
That's the extensive fiber component. China has established a huge fiber-based timing grid. The reports mention something like 20,000 kilometers of fiber with nearly 300 dedicated timing nodes. But crucially, this fiber network doesn't just distribute time independently. It actively integrates the signals from both Beidou and the LRN system. It's constantly cross-validating the satellite signals against the ground signals and distributing that validated time.
Ah, okay. So the real power of the triad isn't just having three separate options. It's that the three systems actively check and balance each other.
Precisely.
So if an attacker manages to jam the Beidou satellites in a region,
the LRAN ground signal continues unaffected, maintains the timing baseline. The fiber network distributes that ground-based time, and it simultaneously verifies, hey, the satellite signal looks wrong here.
And vice versa, if something weird happens with LRAN, the satellite and fiber pick it up.
Exactly. The system is designed so that a failure or attack on any single element satellite, ground, or fiber will not cripple the others, and the discrepancy is immediately detected. If one signal lies, the others catch it. That level of comprehensive cross-validating redundancy is really the definition of hardened infrastructure built for maximum resilience.
That's a fascinating approach. Okay, before we wrap up and summarize the kind of strategic path forward, let's briefly touch on two other solutions mentioned in the sources. One seems faster to deploy than fiber, and the other is maybe more futuristic. Tell us about low Earth orbit satellites first.
Right, LEOSat systems. Companies like Iridium run constellations, and services like Satelles offer timing from them. These satellites orbit much closer to Earth than traditional GNSS satellites like GPS or Beidou.
Okay, and what's the advantage of that lower orbit for timing?
Signal strength. Because they're closer, their signals are about 1,000 times stronger than GPS by the time they reach the ground receiver.
1,000 times stronger. That must make them significantly harder to jam then.
It does, yes. While they are still space-based radio signals and potentially could be spoofed with enough sophistication, the sheer power required to jam them over any significant area makes them vastly more robust against jamming than GPS. They're typically offered as commercial subscription-based services. This makes them a potentially very fast implementation option, maybe 0 to 2 years, as a robust, independent backup timing source, complementing GPS and maybe fiber.
Interesting. Okay, and then for the ultimate, truly independent, non-human-controlled failsafe. We have neutron stars.
Seriously.
Pulsar timing. Yes, it sounds like science fiction, but it's real research. This is currently experimental, definitely costly right now, but the idea is to use the incredibly stable and predictable rotation periods of certain neutron stars' pulsars as natural timing beacons. They spin with phenomenal regularity, like perfect cosmic clocks, completely independent of any human system, any satellite, any terrestrial network.
Wow. I love that we're seriously considering objects light years away as the ultimate backup plan for keeping the lights on down here.
Well, it represents the ultimate non-spoofable, naturally occurring time source for the very distant future. But again, it's still a research project, likely needing a decade or more before we see any kind of practical implementation.
Okay, so bringing it all back down to Earth and back to the strategic challenge facing grid operators and policymakers today. We've covered short-term fixes, medium-term infrastructure like fiber, long-term ground radio like LRAN, and these other emerging ideas. What is the recommended sort of long-haul strategic path for achieving that genuine GPS-independent resilience for the grid?
Based on the consensus from the sources, the path really needs to be phased and pragmatic. Phase one has to be immediate action. Implement those multi-GNSS receiver upgrades everywhere. And critically, install local high-quality holdover clocks, rubidium, or even better, at all critical operational centers and substations. That should be a 1 to 2 year priority. Get that buffer in place.
Okay, phase one, plug the immediate gaps, buy time. Then phase two, the medium-term structural solution.
That really has to be the widespread adoption of fiber optic timing using PTP, that 3 to 8 year transition to national or regional fiber PTP networks. This leverages existing infrastructure where possible and provides very high accuracy and security against RF threats almost immediately once deployed. This should become the new secure primary backbone for timing distribution.
Right, fiber is the main highway. And then the final layer of redundancy, the real long game for maximum hardening.
That is the commitment to ground-based radio, specifically LRAN. Pursuing the national or international cooperation needed to build out this final, highly resilient, physically diverse, virtually unjammable backbone is essential. That's how you achieve the kind of truly hardened infrastructure demonstrated by that PNT triad model we discussed. It's definitely a long-term commitment, 5-10 years or more, and requires political will, but it's an investment that future generations of grid operators will likely depend upon during major disruptions.
Yeah, the lesson here, reinforced by this deep dive into the research, seems crystal clear.
It really is. As the National Institute of Standards and Technologyness concluded in their work, when time becomes mission critical, as it absolutely is for the power grid, redundant and diverse time distribution methods are not optional extras. They are essential. Relying solely on one type of signal, especially a weak, easily disrupted space-based signal like GPS, is simply an unacceptable vulnerability for a modern industrial society.
That leads to a powerful final thought for you, the listener, to take away from this. The experts strongly suggest that utilities and critical infrastructure operators should actually practice resilience with drills, like a planned day without GPS exercise, to see what breaks. If the stability of our entire power grid relies on having these independent, cross-checking layers of time satellite, ground radio, and fiber, what other critical services in our daily lives? Think about finance, stock trading, global telecommunications, emergency services. What else might be unknowingly relying on that single weak point of failure? That GPS signal that can potentially be disabled by a cheap jammer small enough to fit into a coat pocket. Something to mull over as you navigate the modern, intricately timed world around you.